He left off discussing the machlokes achronim regarding the case of ones veratzam ke'echa. That what happens if it's true that there was an ones, but nonetheless, even without that ones, there was no intention of fulfilling the tnai. What happens in such an instance? So, the Haflo comments, for example, in our sugya of Beis Mabeis, that if there was absolute ratzon, in that instance, for example, even if I was able to return, but nonetheless it was ein ratzon lavo, certainly that al-Pedin is considered to be in our Gemara Kiyum HaTnai, and the get is considered to be a get. And with this assumption, Pnei Yeshua raises the following difficulty, that our sugya is very bothered. Why is it that the Gemara mentions that if you have a case of imlo bosim, mikanvah shnemasar chodesh, and umeis besof shnemasar chodesh, then certainly the get is not a get. So the diuk of the Gemara is that's only true in such an extreme case, if meis. What about the instance if chola? In that instance, right, the mashmos is that would not be true. In a case of chola, hareza get. So the difficulty is, isn't that also an example of ones? And therefore, why do we have to assume a case of meis? Even if a person is ill, that should be sufficient grounds for onus as well. And Yeshua is very bothered. In a case of mace, we understand very well. In that instance, categorically, that get is not considered to be a get. But certainly, the Gemara could not have suggested in all circumstances, if cholohu ain't a get, that's not true. Don't you have to ask yourself the following pressing question? What happens if the person was well? Would he have come or would he not come? Maybe the onus and ratzon are working in the same direction, and in which case, certainly we would not argue that the onus is considered to be a ptur in such an instance. That was the ha'ara of the Pnei Yeshua. So he pointed out that Rech HaShmuel and Siman Dalet B'Shem Reb Chaim that writes, perhaps that's not true at all. If only chisaron of onus is simply that it doesn't express the ratzon habal, well, in a case where the onus and ratzon are going in the same direction, I had no desire to return, and it so happens that Poska Mabar and I could not have returned, then yes, there was onus, but nonetheless there was ratzon as well. If, however, you assume, as we discussed, Rav Chanan's riots, that onus is considered to be much more than that, it's not just simply an umdna, that under these circumstances the person did not perform the Maisa Gerishin, or the Maisa Kedushin, or the Maisa Kinyan, but rather it's a Hafkosa Maisa, Nasis Meila. A Kiyum Hatznai bonus is not considered to be a Kiyum Hatznai, so in such a case then Rav Chaim suggests the great Kiddush, that even if you have a case of Ones Baratzon Ke'echad, even then we would assume that Al-Pidin, that is not considered to be a Kiyum Hatznai. If it was an impossibility to come, so therefore you cannot argue that failure to do so is an indicator of Kiyum Hatznai. That certainly is not considered to be the case. So that issue, when you have Ones Baratzon Ke'echad, is that considered to be onus, or is that considered to be ratzon? Is that a kiyum hatznai, or is that not? Should depend on this issue. If the whole difficulty with onus is just simply in umdana that under these conditions yes and others no, so in such an instance, if my das was clearly that I did not desire to come, I wanted the get to be a get, in such a case, of course, it's a kiyum hatznai. If, however, you should argue that no, since you had no say in the matter, therefore, onus is not considered to be a maisa adam, nasa isme'ela. So in such an instance, even in that case, is not considered to be a kiyum hatznai. So we started to discuss now the following possible issue. All the cases we have in the Gemara is a case of a kiyum hatznai that was ba'onus. What about an instance of the opposite? Bitl hatznai ba'onus. Let's assume, for example, I have a case of hareza gitech im basim. And then what happens? Nenas veloba. The person certainly intended to come, but he was unable to do so because of an onus. Would we apply the principle of onus to bitl hatnai, or is only an instance of kiyum hatnai? So the Shitu Gobetzes writes the name of the Ra'ah. This is what we have in the Ritva as well, that in such a case, of course it is not considered to be a get. If you say hareza gitech im basi, and the bottom line is you do not come, obviously, that is not considered to be a kiyum hatnai in any shape or form. One can argue that a kiyum hatnai ba'ones is not considered to be a kiyum hatnai. But what are you going to say? Bitl hatnai ba'ones is considered to be a kiyum hatnai? Certainly not. We don't assume that an ones is kimanda ava. So if the pasuk requires, or the case that you set up requires a kiyum hatnai, then you can argue if it's an ones gamor al-tidin, that's not considered to be kiyum hatnai. If, however, was an instance of bitul hatnai, the tnai was im basi, and the reality was lo ba, in such a case, of course the get would not be chal. You can't in any shape or form argue that that is considered to be a kiyum hatnai. So as we started to discuss, that if you look in the Yerushalmi indicates that this is a machlokis between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. The Yerushalmi in Gittin, Perek Zayin Halacha Vav, explicitly has such a case. A person is mekadesh anisha. Let's assume that there's some concern that she has that he's not going to go through with the nisuin in a rapid pace. And therefore he writes the following, if I will go through with nisuin by this date, then the kedushin is a kedushin, and don't worry if I don't. So then, lo yeli aleich klum, right? We're not even married, so you have a kedushin al tnai that the nisuin must occur within a short window of time. And all of a sudden, Yerushalmi writes an onus occurs, and lo yifnis lo sozman, the nisuin did not yet take place. So Rabbi Yochanan says simply, enu mukadeshes. Good, there's an onus, but the bottom line is that the nisuin did not take place. That's it. The kedushin now falls off. It's command lo avad, enu mukadeshes. And here Rish Lakish says the incredible chiddush that what do you mean that unsa is kimand avad and therefore mekudeshes? The kedushin still maintains itself because after all this chosson did not anticipate that an onus would occur, and therefore what he meant to say apparently was all things being equal, if I just drag my feet and I'm able to do nisuin and I don't, then our marriage is off. But if there's an extenuating circumstance, I never intended that the kedushin should be paka. That's the great chiddush of Rish Lakish, that an onus is considered to be kimad ava. Boshem shat that's machlokas from Yochanan and Rish Lakish. So we started to discuss that if you look in the Ranin kedushin and dafka peim lalef the daf beharif, the Ran does not assume that this is the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. The Ran is bothered by the following kasha. Rish Lakish is the one whose shita is very reasonable. Onus Rachmana Patre. Kiyum Hatnai Ba'onus is not considered to be a Kiyum Hatnai. The Ran cites Arsug Yuxuvas Beis and Beis, and the Ran assumes that Huha Dinami in that case as well. Why should you distinguish between Arsug and the case in the Yerushalmi? So Rish Lakish argues that there is no distinction. We understand very well, right? Onus is considered to be relevant in both cases. But how do you understand the shita of Rabbi Yochanan? That's the kasha that troubles the Ran. So the Ran argues you cannot equate gittin to kedushin. That's the chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan. When it comes to a case of gittin where the das is unilateral das, you don't require the das aisha, just the das abal. So go on, then we can argue that a kiyum hatznai ba'ones is not considered to be a kiyum hatznai. When I said A, I meant A, I didn't mean B. Understand very well. When you're dealing with kedushin, what do you mean? Aval hacha, isha eina miskadesh eselim idaita. And eina maskemes bekedushin elim kem yikayim to know. What do you mean to say? When I made that condition, I was only thinking A. It's not solely up to you. There's dashneim is required. And eina chinami, maybe the woman was of the opinion, I don't care what the reason is. The bottom line is, I am not willing to marry you unless nisuin takes place by this date. So that's an incredible chiddush that the Ran writes. That in principle, even Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Rish Lakish. If it would be a case of gittin, they'd be in full agreement. The only reason Rabbi Yochanan disagrees is how can you grant legitimacy to the taina of the Baal when he says, what I really meant was only under this set of circumstances, not that. But it's not solely up to him. Das Ish is required as well. What's the obvious teretz that the Ran does not give? The whole kasha is no kasha. How can you equate the Yerushalmi with our sugya? Our sugya is referring to kiyum hatnai ba'ones. Kiyum hatnai ba'ones, one could argue, is not considered to be a kiyum hatnai. But to make that giant leap and to assume that Bittul Hatznai bonus is considered to be comparable to Kiyum Hatznai. Mechatesi. The Ran assumes that it should flow either way. Right? Onus can cut in one direction. A Kiyum Hatznai is not a Kiyum Hatznai. And a Bittul Hatznai is not a Bittul Hatznai. And the only reason Rabbi Yochanan disagrees is because there's a difference in Gittin and Kedushin. But when it comes to Gittin, even Rabbi Yochanan would agree. that it makes no difference whether we're talking about ones that affected the kiematznai or whether it affects the gitlatznai. That's an incredible chiddush. What is this issue? Should you distinguish between kiematznai and gitlatznai, or should you not? So this is what Rabbi Chanan begins, right? Siman Aleph, right? In the Pirush of Maseches Ksuvos. What exactly is the p'tur of ones? Unclear. It's clear when it comes to onshin, the p'tur is based on the pasuk of Menaros Asadavar. But when you talk about ones in the realm of kiematznai, is that also the gzeiros hakasuv Menaros Asadavar, or is that absolutely not? So he points out that's goof of the machlokes as to how you understand the shakla v'tarif that sugi nedarim and af chavzayin. The Gemara there is dealing with cases of ones regarding shua, or ones when it comes to kiematznai, and the Gemara introduces the pasuk. And then the Gemara makes the following statement. What do you mean? That perhaps Dilma Katola Shaini. Maybe that's different. Maybe that's when it comes to onus of Misa. But it's not relevant when it comes to a case of a Shur, a case of a Neder, a case of a Kiamatnai. And then the Gemara proceeds to demonstrate that no, onus is a relevant factor even for Kiamatnai and even for Shvu as well. So one could understand that Gemara in very different ways. One is the following. When the Gemara demonstrates that ones is relevant in cases of kiyum hatnai and shvua, the Gemara has proven to us that ones rachmana patre, the pasuk of onaros asadavar, is not only relevant when it comes to onshin, but what is true of ones is true when it comes to gittin, kedushin, shvuas, nedarim, kiyum hatnai, bitul hatnai. Good. And that's exactly, apparently, Rashi Shita, that here our Gemara is referring to Kiyum HaTnai, and Rashi quotes the Pasuk of Lenaru L'Sasadavar. Or one could understand a very different reason. When the Gemara suggests Doma Katala Shani, the Gemara Dara means, Inochinami, you can't derive anything from that Pasuk. That Pasuk of Lenaru L'Sasadavar is only referring to Onshin. Why is it then that Onis is relevant when it comes to a Shua, or when it comes to a Tnai? Not because the gzeras are kasa of avnar sasadav, but very simply, it's a function of das. No? When you make a shvua, isn't das a factor? That's what we call up it in das hafla. When I make a shvua, isn't it important to know what I intended, what I didn't intend, what I had in mind, what I didn't have in mind? The Gemara is supposed to ka'adam b'shvua. Das ha'adam is required when it comes to shvuas and nedarim as well. So therefore, if a person will make a shvua, and what the mission described, nidrei onasin, and all of a sudden there was a case of ones, of course a person can say that when I made the shvua that I would not enter your house, or if I don't have a meal with you, this will become aser, I never intended the circumstances that I would become ill and be unable to do so. But that's the pasuk of l'naros asadavar? No. Maybe that's just simply the following umdana. That when you have such circumstances arise, we can reasonably argue that that is not included in your tnai. That certainly is not what you intended. That's not what you meant by your shvua. Forget about the pasuk of l'naros asadavar. Simply, it's a function of das. So that, Rabbi Chanan comments, are two very different ways of understanding the ones rachmana patre. Is it just simply umdana? That the das adam, when he made the tnai, when he made the kedushin, when he did the maisa gerushin, was under circumstance A, not circumstance B? After all, Tosas already pointed out, also in Shita Mekubet says, you always have to assess what type of onus was it. Was it a milsa de shriach? Was it a milsa de lo shriach? Was it semi shriach? No? Should we have requested or anticipated that the person should have said this, if that's what he meant? No? That's not l'naros asadavar. L'chor, that's a function simply of das. Or do you argue much more than that? L'naros asadavar means, no, it's not considered to be ma'isavera, nases me'elav. If mamish nases me'elav, that's not only true when it comes to onshin. That's relevant when it comes to other cases as well. So Mechanan suggests the following chiddush. Can you cut both ways? Our Gemara says it's relevant for kiamatnai. Is it relevant for bittul hatnai? So Mechanan writes very simply the following. If you're going to tell me onus is based on that pasuk naros asadavar, it's a hafkas ha'maisa, nases me'elav, that can only cut in one direction. No? You can say a kiyum hatnai ba'ones is not called a kiyum hatnai. it wasn't as though you fulfilled your precondition. Because whatever is done by onus is not considered to be your doing. Good. But you can't argue as Rish Lakish does. Onus is kimanda avad. How can you say that? If I make a tnai that I will do something and I don't do it, good, I have a very legitimate excuse for not doing so. Good, no one denies that. I was going to come, but I was unable to do so. But you can't say, and therefore it's as though you came. How can you argue that an onus is kamandava? You can say what was done is illegitimate. It's not your doing. But you cannot argue the opposite, that an onus with bitul hatnai should be effective. No? If, however, you assume that it is, like the view of the Ran, that there's no difference between a kiyum hatnai and bitul hatnai, and this is even true according to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was just bothered by the dasa isha issue. So what apparently do you see? The Ran understands it simply as a function of das. What does it mean? When I made that tanai, I meant under normal conditions. I meant if I consciously, deliberately fail to come, this is what will happen. But if I was unable to come, I never meant that. That can cut both ways. Now, whether you're talking about busy or low busy, what I meant is when I am in, I'm empowered to be able to do A and B, so my doing A is meaningful. My failure today is meaningful. But if I was in a situation where I could not have done that, so therefore, that's concept of onus. And therefore, it can work whether it's a kiyum hatnai or whether it's considered to be a bitul hatnai. Now, that's the chiddush that Rabbi Yochanan suggests. If you're solely working with the concept of das, and he writes, that means when the Gemara Nedarim suggests Naral Sasa Dover is the base of Onam Rasmach Manapati when it comes to Mishpatei Hatnayim, and the Gemara rejects it, Dima Katalashani, the Gemara absolutely rejects it. And when the Sugi continues and tells you that Onus is relevant in other areas, it's not based on that Gzeira Sarkasa, but very simply, because Kedushin requires Das, Gittin requires Das, Shavuos Nedarim requires Das, the Das Anishpa, the Das Anodah, the Das Anmekadesh, the Das Anmegaresh was not under those circumstances. What did the husband mean? That if I'm able to marry you and I don't, you have legitimate taina, so then you're free to marry anyone you want. But if mamisha was a case of absolute onus, I did not mean that we shouldn't be married. My desire was to go through with nisuin. And therefore, inachinami, it can work when it comes to cases of kiyum hatnai as well as bitul hatnai. Right, this issue will be very relevant, right, for what we'll soon see, right, in the concept of onus b'sof hazman. This also could be a relevant issue in another point that the Shita Kobetzus raises, Divra Maskel v'Kosov b'Shita. Should there be a difference between Tola b'das Atzmo as opposed to Tola b'das Acher? Let's assume, for example, the condition that I make is not b'yodi. It's nothing at all to do with me. It's dependent on someone else entirely. Is that a relevant factor or is it not? So the Ra'orai said, absolutely. When do we assume that onus is considered to be an important factor? That onus in kiyum hatnai is not considered to be a kiyum hatnai? That's when it's tola b'das atzmo. After all, you made this tnai. From your perspective, you could call the shots. You were empowered to come or not come, to do A or not to do A. So then I have legitimate right, the taina, I never anticipated that it would be out of my control. Poska mabara. I maybe foolishly thought that of course I'd be able to come. I didn't realize that I have to cross this river and was dependent on others. But let's assume you make a tnai where you acknowledge at that time that it is absolutely not biyadcha. So in such a case, then a kiyum hatnai bonus is considered to be a kiyum hatnai. That's what they're all right. That chiddush of ra'ah also lechora could be based on this issue. If you assume that a kiyum hatnai bonus simply is not considered to be kiyum hatnai, one could argue that that could be true irrespective whether it's Tola B'das Atzma or Tola B'das Acherim. I said in order for this halacha to occur, whatever it is, the Gerish, the Kedushin, the Shua, A must occur. If it was Ba'ones, it's as though it's Nasis Mela. So my t'nai was, that third party must do A. If it happened Ba'ones Gamor, that third party did not do A. It was Nasis Mela. That's not considered to be a Kima t'nai. But if you will argue that it's simply a function of Das and Ratzon, one could argue as follows. When I make the t'nai dependent on my own action, so obviously, right, it's under my control, whether it occurs, whether it does not occur. So in such a case, you know what I meant. I meant to say that I willingly fail to come, then yes. But once I make a t'nai regarding that which is out of my control, so what are you going to say? I only assumed A, didn't assume B. In such a case, one could argue that's very meaningful when you are empowered to be Mekayim the T'nai. So I meant only A, not B. But if I acknowledge at the time that the Shvu is made, that the Neder is made, that the Git and Kedushin right, is done, that it is something which is B'das Acherim, then perhaps one can argue, what do you mean it was Ba'ones? You had no say in whether it occurred, whether it didn't occur. Therefore, how can you argue that that was a Chisarim in your Das Makna, your Das Gerish, and your Das Kedushin, right, and the like? Again, these are possibilities in terms of understanding that chakira of the ra'ah. It's not a stira. That the way the Rabbi Chanan, for example, explains the ra'ah shita, that there's a difference between kiyamatayim bitzvatnai, that can be understood in terms of hafkos ha'maisa. But you don't have to come onto hafkos ha'maisa to understand the difference between kiyamatayim bitzvatnai. One could simply argue that ones rachmana patre means that the kiyam ha'tnai bonus is not a kiyamatayim, but it's still a great chiddush to assume that Bitl HaTnai bonus is comparable to Kiyum HaTnai. And that, of course, is considered to be, and it's a great finish. But I wanted to make, before we continue, we'll get to the sugya of Ones B'Sof HaZman. That's also very relevant. We're not finished with this issue at this point. But just one ha'ara, based on what I mentioned yesterday, the case of Mace. No? Rashi tells us, simply in our sugya, that Beis HaMabeis, Areza Gitech, Im Lo Basi Mikan Vad Shnei Masar Chodesh. And the Gemara says simply, Meis B'Sof Shnei Masar Chodesh. In such a case, right, clearly, that ain't no get. Of course it's not a get. Ain't get lachar misa. Why is that true? That ain't get lachar misa. So Rashi in our sugya, the Raskol Meis, writes the following, very simply, Ain Meisim Megarshim. Right? If you're dead, you cannot perform a Meisa Gerish. Finished. Ain Meisim Megarshim. If you look, however, right, in the parallel sugyas, you look in the Rashi in Gitna Daf Tesema Beis, and the Rashi in Gitna Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph through Maskolo, Rashi writes something very different. There, the case is slightly different than our Gemara. There, we're talking about a case of Ha'omer Tznu Gezel Ishti, or Shtar Shichru Zel Avdi. A person who is Megarish his wife or is Meshachar his Eved, Al Yedei Shliach. And all of a sudden, Umeis, the husband dies, the Adon dies. So clearly, the Gemara tells us that Lo Yit Lachar Misa, the Shliach cannot go and give the get after the Mishaleach has died. Why is that? Rashi does not write in Gittin, Daf Tes, and Daf Yud Gimel what Rashi writes here. Rashi does not say, well look, if the Adam is dead, or the husband is dead, Ein HaMeisim Megarshim, Ein HaMeisim Meshachrim. Rashi does not say that. Rashi writes the following. Obviously the Shliach cannot continue, right, and what, deliver the Shichru, deliver the Get, why is that true? Because Rashi writes, Nafkalei Rishusei Minei. He's no longer the Adam. I can be Meshachar my Eved. Once the person dies, it's no longer his Eved. Once the husband dies, she's no longer an Ishus Ish. That's what Rashi writes in Gittin Daf Yud Gimel. Pakale Rishusei. Well, obviously, you divorce an Ishus Ish. She's no longer an Ishus Ish. Now she's an Almana. So why is it that Rashi gives you these two very different reasons. In our sugi, Rashi writes a mesim agashim. In the sugi in Gittin, Rashi says pakalei rishusim. What's the chiddush of Rashi by saying pakalei rishusim? So if you look in the Ktzos is found in Simen Kupei Ches, in Sivkot and Beis, the Ktzos writes a great, great chiddush. Let's assume we're dealing with the case, for example, of something which is done al yedei shliach, a kinyan which is done al yedei shliach, a gerushin is done al yedei shliach, whatever the case is. So obviously, the mishaleach must be a bardas. If he's not, nothing to speak of. The mishaleach can't appoint a shliach. The mishaleach could not have affected a kinyan. What happens in the following case? What happens if the person was a pikeach? B'shashah so shliach. At the time of the minu shlichus, the person was a pikeach, a full faculty. All of a sudden, before the chalos shlichus, before the shlichus was carried out, nishtat to hamashaleach. He became an absolute shota. In most cases, he can call him a shota. What happens? The Tzos raised the following issue, that Miaz Linan Basar Me'ikar. Do we argue that, look, at the time that he appointed the Shliach, he was a Bardas, and therefore the Shlichus has a life of its own, independent of the Das HaMashaleach? Or do you argue, absolutely not, that Az Linan Basar Sov, at the time of the Maisa Kinyan, the Mishaleach was Lav Bardas, so obviously there's no Chalos whatsoever. That's the issue that the Ktzos raises. Is it sufficient to have Das, B'shas, Minu Shlichus? Or Basar Sof at the time, right, that the Chalos, the Shlichus will be carried out. So it refers you to the following Chiddush of the Rambam. The Rambam writes, and it was Gerish, and Karak Beis, Halacha Tezvav, the following. A person who was a Bari, B'shas, Minu Shlichus. And the Acharkaf Ochzu Cholishtus. And then a person subsequently became a Shota. The Rambam writes, when that get is given, it's a get puzzle. Get puzzle, we know, means that Midaraisa yes, Midrabana no. As we discussed, for example, the very opening shurim, a chalitza psula. The Rambam says, you have chalitza, shlobit ne'edim, it's a chalitza psula. But Yosef writes, that's not a chalitza psula. That's nothing. Here the Rambam writes, an incredible chiddush. If at the time of the minyan shlichus, the baal was a bardas, subsequently became a shota, and then the get was given, the Tzos assumes, according to the Rambam shita, that is a get min ha-Torah. It's only a get pasul midrabban. Why? Shelo yomru shota bar gerushin. Because you know what's going to happen. Everybody knows right now the baal is a shota, and we're going to allow this woman to remarry. People will wrongly assume that a shota can give a get. They won't realize that at the time the minu shlichus he was a bari, subsequently became a shota. So midrabban no, but midarais is a good get. And if you look in the Torah, in Ebenezer, in Kuf Chav Aleph, the Torah said, what do you mean, such a get? It's mamish, no get whatsoever. Pasul min haTorah. The Pri Chadash writes that we're machmer for the Rambam Shita to treat this as a gerish in midaraisa. It's unbelievably. Tzos assumes in the Rambam Shita that as long as one is a bardas at the time of the minu shlichus, the Shlichus now has a life of its own, even if the Shemal and Mishaleach at this point in time is incapable of Maisa Gerishin. When it comes to Gerishin, according to the Rambam, the get is a get, the Ksos assumes. According to the Torah Mefurish, absolutely not. And the Ksos goes a step further and says, that there should be an afkamina ladina. What about in areas other than gerishin? What are areas other than gerishin? According to the Torah, it's nothing. Finished. According to the Rambam Shita, no. Midaraisa, the get is a get. Midrabana, no, because Shemi Yomru, Shotevar Gerishin. That Zeira Dravanan was only when it comes to Gerishin, no? A person will give a get, it's nothing, he's a Shota, and we're going to allow this woman to be married. Terribly. Shasisha, Mamzeru, Sarayos. What about when it comes to Kinyanim? The Ksos writes, according to the Rambam, there's no Gzeira Dravanan. If a person appoints an individual to perform a Maisa Kinyan, and then the Mishaleach becomes a Shota, will allow that Kinyan to be carried out. What are you afraid of? Shemi Yomru, that a Shota can make a Kinyan. Okay, so Shota can make a Kinyan. Won't be the end of the world. The risk factor isn't so great. So he writes the following Kiddush. The Rambam Sheet apparently is that if you have Das at the time of the Minish Lichus, that's sufficient. And therefore the Shlichus can continue and literally survive the Mishaleach. It so suggests, you know who else assumes this is true? Rashi. Which Rashi? The Rashi isn't getting Dav Tes, Dav Yud Gimel. A person appoints a Shliach. That's the case. Omer tnu get zel ishti, shtar shichr zel avdi umeis, lo yivt lachar nisa. Why not? Why can that get to the shtar shichr not be given lachar nisa? I would have said very simply, ein ameis in a garshim. Rashi writes in our Gemara. How is a person who's dead able to give a get? Rashi doesn't write that. Why not? So the Tzos writes, no, this great Kiddush, the suggestion that now, maybe the Shita Rashi is like the Rambam Shita. And that is that in principle, Shlichus can continue even the Mishaleach is Lav Bardas. In which case one could ask, if in a case of Shota, the get is a get, how is that different from a case of Ein Get Lachar Misa? So for that, Rashi writes, I'll tell you what the difference is. Of course the get is no get. Why? Because Pakalei Rishusei. Good, the Das problem we can deal with. No? Because the Das is a Shliach. We'll continue. But who's being divorced? The Aman is being divorced. Who's being free? This Eved. He's no longer the Eved of this Adam. She's no longer an Eishes Ish. And that's why Rashi writes, the Chiddush of Pakal Rishusei. Rashi had to come onto that Chiddush precisely because the Sugi in Gittin was talking about Shlichus, and the Tzol suggests the possibility of Shlichus continuing with a life of its own, and therefore Rashi has to tell us that Pakal Rishusei. Obviously, it makes no sense to assume that there's a get lachar misa. They're not married. She's an amana. In our case, we're not talking about shlichus whatsoever. Here, we're talking about the Baal himself that does the maisa gerishin, that the get should be chal lachar shemasar chodesh. So here, very simply, hey mesa, megarshin. How can he perform a gerishin? He's dead. How can that be? But Rashi, who is dealing with the cases in Gittin of Shlichus, and the Schiddush of the Rambam that the Shlichus can be preserved, there Rashi writes, right, that no, that Pakal Rishus. That's the Chiddush, right, that the Ksos suggests. Right, the very big Chiddush in terms of, he doesn't mention the contrast of our Rashi's. The Ksos just calls the Rambam Shita, and writes, he thinks that Rashi is like the Rambam of Pakal Rishus. Right. Again, just to add, and that's why in our sugya, where we're not dealing with shlichus whatsoever, where the Baal himself did the maisa gerishin, so very simply, Rashi writes that ain't get lachar misa, it's not because of Pakal Rishusei. So it's obvious. The person who's dead is incapable. Provides the condition. When our Gemara discusses the case of Ones, so our Gemara has the case of Reisa Gitei Imobasi. And what happens? Asa b'sof hazman. And all of a sudden, paske mabar. So what do you see black and white in our Gemara? That an Ones b'sof hazman is called an Ones. Even though I could have turned to this Baal and said, look, why did you procrastinate? You could have come, right, for all the other days. And you waited until the very last day to come, and lo and behold, the bridge is out. That's not called an Ones. If the bridge was out for the entire month, I understand. There's no way you could have arrived. But here the Gemara just says simply, right? Asa b'sof lasan yamin. He decides to show up on the very last day. But yet, the Gemara treats this as an Ones. And the Gemara writes, Neinoch inami, that mikar hadin Ones rachmana patre. So if you look in the Mukhe Yosef, Mukhe Yosef is in Bava Kama, Daf Yudim Adbeis, Nadaf Beharif. Mukhe Yosef writes the following Chiddush according to the Ramah. That this concept of an Ones, the Sof Hazman, how the Ones, is not only relevant here, in the case of Poska Mavara, but Huan Denami, when it comes to other cases as well. Like the context, right, of that Ramah is the discussion of Tchilasa B'Pshia, the Sof of Ones. Mek Yosef writes the following Chiddush. What happens if Mishalo Hispalo? Why? Because Adai Nishuhus Miyom. He didn't dab a mincha yet because there's time. And therefore he reasons after he finishes what he's doing, and then I'll dab a mincha. And all of a sudden what happened, lo and behold, lost track of time, Avra lo hashav, is there tashlum? So Mukhe Yosef writes that person is not called a mazid, that person is not called a posheya, and yesh lo tashlum. He was an Ones, b'sof hazman, shochach. The fact that he procrastinated is irrelevant. And Mukhe Yosef writes, he should not have done so. Right? The Gemara does not allow a person, generally speaking, to involve himself, right, in anything else when the Zman Tefila begins. But bottom line is, if it was an Ones b'sof hazman, or a Shogeg b'sof hazman, you can't call that a maze of poshe, and therefore yesh lo tashlum. Mukhe Yosef goes a step further. Let's assume the same thing is true when it comes to a shvua. A person goes ahead and makes a shvua that he will do A, right, within a frame of time, the Sok Shana, within the year. And he keeps on delaying, thinking that he has time. And all of a sudden, mamish, at the end of that year, something happened that prevented him from fulfilling that shvur that nedir. So hu hadinami, right, al pidin, that is called an ones. We discussed the concept now when it comes to shvurs. Ones is a ptur, adam b'shvur. So that also was called an ones. He deliberately waited until the last minute. An Ones, b'sof hazman, is considered to be an Ones. Both these cases are called in Shulchan Aruch. In Simen Kuf Ches, in Siv Ches, that's the case of Tashlumin, where the Mechaber writes that even if a person purposely delayed, bottom line is, Shochach b'sof hazman, that's considered to be Shogeg, and Yesh lo Tashlumin. There, the Magen Avram in Sivkat Nir Aleph refers you to the next case. In Yeridei and Reish Lamed Beis, that's the case of Shvur. In Sif Yud Beis, here the Ramah quotes two things. The Ramah writes that case that you find in Mukhe Yosef, that a person makes a Shvur, Lasos Dor B'Sof Shana, and there's ample time to do so, but B'Sof Hazman, Shachach or Nenas, So the first day in the Ramah is Yesh Omrim de Mikre Ones. Yeah, that's the Nemuk Yosef and Baba Kama, Daf Yudim Aveis. However, Yesh Omrim de Lo Mikre Ones. That's the Sheet of Agudah. That Alpidin is not called an Ones. If it was an Ones B'chol Hazman, that's called an Ones. An Ones B'sof Hazman, that is not called an Ones at all. Where do you see that this is true? That an Ones B'sof Hazman is not called an Ones. So if you look at the Taz, there in Yeraday, in Reish Lamed Beis, in Sifkat Yates, he just quotes the Aguda. The Aguda is found in the Seches Gittin and Simen Kuf Lamed Beis. So you can take a look at the Taz, just quotes the Aguda for you. What was the Raya? From Batei Arechum. The Pasuk says in Vayikra, Berach HaFei, that if a person sells a bayis that is in a walled city, most Yeshua Benun, so the halachos are as follows. The mocher has a right to redeem that house immediately and for the period of a year. Interestingly, we'll have to see why this is so crucial. When he does redeem that house, he redeems it for 100 cents on the dollar. Whatever the lokeach has paid, he pays the lokeach. In other words, he does not take off any of the benefit that the lokeach received in the interim of using that house. Maybe I would have argued, look, I sold you the house for X, but you've been using it for the past 11 months. So therefore, I don't have to pay you full value. No, he pays 100 cents on the dollar. What happens if that's not true? If the geula, the pidyon, did not take place, so then that house remains beyond halokeach forever, unaffected by yovel. Those halachos are batei arechum. Good. So the Mishnah in Erechim, it's in Perek Tes Mishnah Dalet, describes the following. Barishona hayanitman. You know what would happen? The lokeach would make himself inaccessible. The lokeach didn't want the mocher to come and buy back the house. He wanted to keep it for himself, and if he could just get over the year, that's it. It's his free and clear. It will not go back in Yovel. See, that used to happen. At the end of the year, the lokeach would disappear. Why? Shehe cholavlo. In order to see to it that the house would become his. It would be impossible for the mocher to do his act of pinyan, the act of geula. So as a result, the Mishnah says that Hiskin Hil Hazakam Shehe Cholish Ismaosablishka. Hil Hazakin established the following takana, that it's sufficient for the mocher to deposit the money in the Lishka, in the Lishka of Mikdash, Lishka of Bezdin. And that's it. He can enter the house immediately. Enter the house immediately. The Aguda writes the following. Nitman. The lokeach's running away. He's hiding from the mocher, making it impossible to make payment. It's an onus, no? Here the mocher is willing to pay, and he can't do so. That's mamish and onis b'sof hazman. That's the Mishnah says. Hayanitman yom shnei masar chodesh. At the very end of the year, today is going to be the day of geula. Look how it goes into hiding. That's a case of an onis b'sof hazman. Why was it necessary for Hillel Zakin to institute a new takana? Onis b'sof hazman. Let's simply the mocher go to Bezdin and say, look, here I was willing to do so and I was absolutely unable to perform any form of gula, any form of pinyon. It was an onus gamur. He was hiding. The Buddha says, what do you see from that? That an onus, the self has man, is lo chashiv onus. Chashiv said against our gemara. What do you mean? The lokeach wasn't in hiding forever, for the whole year. He was available for all other months. If the mocher was really interested in buying back, he could have done so at an earlier time. Lokeach decides to wait until the last day. The mocher waits the last day. And all of a sudden he has the tainus onus because lokeach is unavailable. The Gudra writes, an onus, b'yom achron, b'self hazman, lo chashiv onus. So there is no tain of onus. Either that can lead to lokeach deliberately going into hiding to see to it that the batar yichol not be bought back. So therefore it's necessary for lazakin to make a takana. Good argues, if you hold simply, an onus b'sof hazman is considered to be an onus. So in such a case, there's no need for takana. So that's the tidins. Shulchan Aruch and Reish Lamed Beis. A person waits until the last minute, and now his hands are tied, he's unable to. A good advice, that's not called an onus whatsoever. You'll have to see how that fits with our sugya. Asa the self has man. Gemara says that's what considered to be onus or Rahmana Patra. If you look, for example, in the Taz, there in Sikkot Yates, the Taz just simply and practical grounds that is man chederaya bavli. Maybe anything on it. If Beis Din would in fact know that that was the case, that really the mocher was willing to redeem, and the only reason that that was not done was because lokeach was in hiding, maybe Beis Din would have declared that ones b'yom achron is considered to be an ones, and therefore they would allow for further pinyon. But what's the difficulty? Lo yachol levarer. It's going to be hard to do. You know what the lokeach is going to do? Lokeach will get up and claim, what are you talking about? I was there. He could have easily come and paid me. He didn't do so, and now he's claiming that I was inaccessible. So Tosfos says very simply, the takana of Hil HaZaken was simply a practical takana. Because otherwise he lived of herself. The mocher will say he attempted, lokeach will say he wasn't home, because simply not, he was in hiding. Lokeach says, I was there the whole day waiting for him to come, he didn't show. So HaZaken had a simple eitzim. You want to redeem? Deposit the money b'makom halishka. That's all. Or, for example, the Taz writes that the intent of the Malchir is not to have a whole din Torah. The intent of the Malchir is the kanes the beis omiyad. The Malchir is entitled to enter his home immediately. So Hil HaZaken simply devised a way that that can happen. Place the money in the lishka, and now he can enter the home immediately. That's the Mishnah concludes. You can break down the door to the house. As opposed to having a whole din Torah. That's the Taz right simply. That maybe Enochinami, you're right, that onus b'sof hazman technically have onus, but it's going to be very difficult to make that determination. Now we have a simple way. We tell the mocher, you have to deposit the money before this date. And you can't fault the lokeach for being unavailable. The reason this case is so relevant is not just simply the issue of whether onus b'sof hazman is or not, and how that fits with our Gemara. Our Gemara seems to indicate that onus b'sof hazman is an onus, and the sheet of the Agudah that says it's not an onus. But what about the previous discussion? That machlokis, the Ra'on Ritva, as opposed to the Ra'an. Hafka, Das. Is there a difference in Kiyum Hatnai as opposed to a case of Bittul Hatnai? Kiyum Hatnai Ba'onis is not called a Kiyum Hatnai. Bittul Hatnai Ba'onis. The Ran says, doesn't matter. Cuts either way. And the Ritva, the Ran, what are you talking about? Certainly is not true. Rav Yidashita, Onis is not Kiman Dov Adami. Ein Rukudeshes. What's this case? At face value, this case of Agudah, Bateri Choma, Kiyum Hatnai or Bittul Hatnai? Bal Shem Shat, this is the case. A Bittul Hatnai. What is the Agudah say in the case of Bateri Choma? If it was an onus b'sof hazman, that's not called an onus. If the lokeach was around for the whole year and he was unavailable on the last day, you cannot claim a tainus onus. Onus b'sof hazman is in onus. But let's assume, for example, nenas v'lo gaal, there was a lasting onus, and the mocher was unable to buy back, not just the last day, but an extended onus, then the good assumes that onus rachmana patrei. That's a very great kiddush, no? The case of Bateri Choma Lechora is considered to be a case of Bittul Hatnai. No? A person buys this house, and what is the tanai? That if in the course of the year I will redeem, then it will revert back to me. Im goel, if I'll redeem the home. So what happens? As a result of the ones, lo goel, the mocher wasn't able to do so. So according to the Ra'on, according to the Ritva, what's the answer? Ones and bittul hatnai. Of course we don't assume that Ones is Rachmana Patre, but Ones is Kamanda Ava. There's no right whatsoever from the case of Aguda. In that instance, Ones is irrelevant, not because it was an Ones B'Sof HaZman, and Ones B'Sof HaZman is not considered to be an Ones, but for against our Gemara. Our Gemara says, even if the Ones is B'Sof HaZman, that's called an Ones. You know why it was necessary to have the Tavkon of Hil HaZakein? Good, there's an onus. But what is an onus going to accomplish? Bittul Hatnai. You were obligated to redeem the house. As a result of an onus, you did not do any act of pidyon, act of geula. So therefore, we're going to argue that what? That onus will allow you to now redeem? Of course not. That's considered to be a case of an onus for Bittul Hatnai. How in the world is that good a feel? That you can bring any raya from the case of Bateri Choma. It must be that the Aguda follows the opinion of the Ran. That onus will cut both ways. And onus in Kiyum Hatnai is not called the Kiyum Hatnai. And onus in Bittul Hatnai is not called the Bittul Hatnai. And therefore, we don't view it as a failure on the part of the mocher to redeem. Without going through all the marmakomos, this is the ha'ar of the ktsos in Simen Nun Hei. The ktsos quotes the sheet of the Aguda. He writes the following. There's no raya whatsoever. Here we're talking about a case of onus in Bittul Hatnai. What happens? When the lokeach purchased that house, the house was nikne lokeach miyad. It was immediately his. Elamai, there was a certain condition There was a reshus b'yad ha-mocha liftos. The Torah grants the mocha the right of binyam. If, in fact, he will redeem, the house reverts back to the mocha. If for whatever reason he doesn't do so, so the status quo remains, that the house is b'yad ha-lokeach. The Ksos uses the language. What do you mean? Lo arminon ones kemanda avad? We don't assume that ones means, right, it's as though it occurred. Something that did occur, bonus, we can say it's as though it didn't happen. Nasis me'elo. But you can't argue that ones is kemanda avad. And the Ksos says, how can a Buddha say such a chiddush? You're going to say onus is kamanda avad. And therefore, what's the chiddush of the Aguda? That an onus besof hazman is not called an onus. You have to be in a case of onus for the entire window of time. With the 2 days in Shulchan Aruch regarding a shvu'in and eder, or the 2 days regarding tashlumin, that sounds right, you can't say that. V'chein mochav b'reish perakam n'ksuvos, ar sugya. But the bridge has to be out for all 30 days. Our Gemara just simply says that asa b'sof lasan yama. The guy waited till the end and he came the last day. The bridge was out. So you see, onus b'sof hazman is an onus. What do you do with the Agudah's case of batar yechoma? What are you talking about? That's a case of bitul hatznai, not a case of kiyum hatznai. That's the Ksosis of it. So batar yechoma, that immediately that bias is nikna lokeach, there is a tnai that there's b'shus b'yad ha-mocha livdoso. If he fails to do so, there's no pinyon. If he fails to do so ba'ones, that's ones b'bitla tnai, failure to fulfill the condition. So if you look in the Nesivos, and Nesivos there in Siman Nun Hey, Nesivos writes the following. Not true. That's not how Batei Rechama work. Ksos is Chiddush. That the Mechira is Chal Miyad, but Al Tnai She'im Et Padena, then yes, it reverts back to the Rosh Hashanah. Nesivos writes the following Kiddush. Maybe the mechanism of Batar Echoma is this. Right now, what happens? I'm giving you the house, and you're paying me. So Nesivos writes the following. This is the mechanism of Batar Echoma. Imlo egael, if I don't redeem the house within a year, then the most that you gave me was Dmei Mechira. If I fail to redeem within the course of the year, then the money which you have deposited with me is Dmei Mecher, and the house is yours. But if I impose that, if I redeem, then you know what? The Mechir was never a Mechir. What is it? This is going to sound striking, right? But the Nesivos writes, Nimtza d'lmafreya paisa halva. It was a loan. I have to say, on what basis the Nesivos can say such a thing? Halva? Right now, I'm down and out. I don't have any funds. I'm going to sell you this house that I have. Right? A buying spear choma. Everybody wants to buy it. Now it's not going to go back in Yovel. So this is the deal. If I don't pay you back in a year's time, the money that you gave me, right, is a purchase. If I pay you back, it was just simply a loan. You gave me $100,000, At the end of the year, I'm paying you back $100,000. That's the chiddush of the nesivos. That means that what's the tnai? It's not as the tzos writes to take it from yad. There's a mechira. It's just that there is a tnai that b'shus b'yad hamocha lifdoso. If I impose it then, but now the nesivos writes, I am giving you the money as demei halva. If I fail to redeem, then that is the purchase price. What difference does it make in those semantics of whether the mechir is chal immediately or whether it's demei halva, failure to pay back, us having mechira? That's our sugya. What if there's failure to be poda as a result of onus? Is that called onus bebitul hatnai, or is that called an onus bekiyum hatnai? According to the nesivos, that's an onus bekiyum hatnai. That's im lo basi. If I fail to pay you back, then an onus occurs, and as a result of the onus, I fail to pay you back. That's an onus bekiyum hatnai. That's not an onus of bitul hatnai. If you structure the deal as such, that the money that I'm giving you is a halva, but if I fail to pay you back, the house is yours. This is an onus, b'kiyum hatnai. If I fail to redeem, if I fail to show up, paska mabara, I fail to show up. That's the chiddush of Agud. Nesivos writes, no, Agud doesn't have to hold like that, Ron. Like the Ra'ah, like the Ritva, Poshim Shad. That onus is not command of, and even Rabbi Yochanan were good to Salacha. Mechates, why in the world should you assume that this is true? That that's how we structure Bater Echoma? It's not a buyback. I would have said very simply, either you buy it back or you're not buying it back. No? No, it's not a buyback at all. If I exercise the right to l'chora, buy back, no, it just means there's dmei halva. It's not a buyback at all. Is there any indication to assume that that's true? So the nesivos writes, take a look at the Gemara in Erechim, on daf lamed aleph. It's black and white that this is true. Because the Gemara Erech and Daf Lamed Aleph writes the following chiddush, one line, unbelievable. The Gemara says, "Bater Echoma." The Gemara quotes the Brai, so listen to this: "Hare zu ribiz gemura, el ashahat Torah hitirasa." Bater Echoma is mamish yotzim in a cloud. It's the one case that the Torah allows ribis daraisa. That's what the Gemara says in Erech and Daf Lamed Aleph. What in the world is the Gemara talking about? Ribis daraisa? I buy something from you for $100. A year later, you want to buy it back from me. Well, the price has gone up. So now I charge you $150. That's ribis. Ribis is only relevant to halva. Mecca for Memka, that's supply and demand. I'm hoping that what I buy is going to be worth more in a year. And I'll sell it for a profit. That's ribis. Of course not. Bater echom is ribis daraisa. Ela shatara tirasa. How can that be? Now you seem a foolish. This is not called a buyback. What is happening is the following. That the mocher does not have funds. He's selling his most valuable position. No. He is telling you this. Lend me the $100. At the end of the year, I'll pay you back. Why is it ribis daraisa? Because who is utilizing the house during the interim? This halva? So the lokeach, at the end of the year, is going to get his money back. And that's what I mentioned before, that chiddush of Bater Echoma. We do not insist that there is compensation for the fact that the lokeach used the house for an entire year. Those were the terms. Lend me $100, use my home, and at the end of the year, I will pay you back the $100. That's ribbis. There the malv is getting, right, the keren plus. He's getting 100 cents on the dollar and use of the house. How can that be? Isn't that called ribbis daraisa? Right? So that's exactly what the braisa says. That is ribbis daraisa. El hator hitirasa. The Mishnah says it's kimin ribbis, similar to ribbis. But the Gemara points out that the Mishnah is not denying the mechanism of the braisa. This is something the Gemara calls ribbis bitzad echoy. Normally, what's real ribbis? There are two halves. I'm lending you $100. You pay me back next year $125. That's ribbis. Here, it's iffy. If I pay you back, then you're accruing something extra. Payback plus use of the house. And if I don't pay you back, it's an outright buyout. It's a mechira. That the Gemara calls ribbis mitzarecha. It means we've set up a deal with two options, one which is ribbis, one which is not ribbis at all. No? So that's the machlokas, the Mishnah, the Braisa. Is ribbis mitzarecha. Is that ribbis daraisa, or is that not? A classic case of ribbis is only one option. Borrow money, pay me back additional funds. That's ribbis. Here it's more complicated. If you pay me back more. If you don't pay me back, I'll take the house. If I take the house, there's no ribbis. So that, the Gemara terms, ribbis mitzarecha. So the Gemara says that the Mishnah calls that ke'ein ribbis, kemin ribbis. The Braisa calls that ribbis daraisa. That's a very important but technical machlokas, nochas ribbis. When you give a person a menu of options, one of which is ribbis, and the others that are not, is that ribbis daraisa or is that ribbis sheno daraisa? That's called ribbis sheno ktutsa. But the Gemara says everyone agrees that the buyback is a ribbis problem. Ribbis mitzarefa. Why in the world is that ribbis? That's what the Nesivos writes. You see that the structure of Batari Choma is the following. That if, in fact, right, I replenish the funds, it's a Havala Mafreya. But if I fail to do so, then it's a Mechira. Failure to redeem is what clinches the deal. That, the Nesivos writes, is Ones Bebitul HaTnai. No, that's Ones Bekiyum HaTnai. Im lo egalis habayis, then oz havi mechira. That's the chiddush of the Nesivos. We have to see one more piece. So we'll argue that's a case of kiyum hatnai. But we still mamish have a stira then. How can the aguda assume that an ones b'sof hazman is not considered to be an ones? We didn't even understand the raya of the aguda. So with the help of the Nesivos, we understand his raya. Good? No, this is a great case. Ones b'sof hazman in kiyum hatnai. Ones b'sof hazman is not an ones. And now you have to deal with the further kasha. It's against our Gemara. No? We understand his raya. But now you have to go the next step. Our Gemara says, osa b'sof hazman, poska mabara. That's an ones. Is there any way to distinguish between the Batar Yechoma case as opposed to our Gemara of Paska Mamar? So here take a look at the Chiddush of Reb Chaim. It's found in the Chiddush of Hagrach and Gittin and Dab Ayin Dalad Mabez. Reb Chaim attempts to distinguish between the case of Batar Yechoma right in the case of our Gemara. Okay, so Bezras Hashem will pick up tomorrow right this Chiddush of Reb Chaim.